All right, so I'm here with head promoter of Warriors of Wrestling, Joey B. Also, well, known to everybody as Joey B, but Joe Bellini. How you doing this evening?
What's going on, man?
And, all right, so let's start. I want to talk about the most recent things that's been going on in promotion. And, you know, you seem to have been really riding a high of all the momentum from the start of the year, well, ending last year and then going into this year. So how are you feeling going into this next event, especially since you really, really knocked out the park this event? Like, you put on some pretty good shows, but I feel like this one had at least three of the four best matches, like, from this year alone. So how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about what, going into June 6th, or how do I feel about the past few shows?
Well, both. Well, June 6th and about this last show, too.
Oh, I feel great about the last show. I mean, I didn't expect to. No. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm sick and I got a call. I didn't expect to do the numbers. We did. I knew we were going to have a good crowd. The pre-sales were awesome. I mean, front row was sold out. There was a lot of GA sold out prior to the doors even opening. You know, Rikishi did well for us before. Back in February of, I think, 2013. But, you know, I was, you know, pleased and hot now. You know, that's the one thing, and that's what worries me going into June. We don't have as big as a name as Rikishi, but I don't know if we need that. I don't know if we'll do it well. But, you know, it's the heat that worries me. The front station isn't the most, you know, the best on HC. I could open the door, you know, which I might do. I probably will do. You know, but, you know, also people got things going on in June. There's a lot of weddings in June. There's graduations in June. There's a lot of people go away in June. You know, that's always against us, but I think we'll do all right. I don't think we'll do as good as May, but I think we'll definitely do all right.
And it seems like you guys are really, really starting to rock and really starting to get going. And, you know, since I've only been coming since November, but I've seen the crowd increase and it just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger. What happens when the attendance starts to reach, like, say, 500? What do you do then?
You know what? It's, a lot of people said to me at the last show that, you know, you gotta go to a bigger place. And you could do that. But we're known to be at the front station. You know, we raised our ticket prices now. Because we've had the same prices since 2009. You know, and they're affordable now. They definitely were more, you know, they were always affordable. They're still affordable, I think. And we're still packing the place out. It's just easier running there because the ring is there.
Yeah.
If we have to go to a bigger venue, we'll go to a bigger venue. But, you know, I still always want to run the plunge station because that's been our home, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's cool. It's kind of like how ECW had the arena. Yeah.
And it's this place, we're going to be, you know, we have the ability to put in, like, spotlights, which, you know, we want to kind of lose the brightness of the building. I don't know how that would be for you guys, for your cameras, but a lot of people have been saying our pictures look really good, but they look flat because of the lighting at the front station that, you know, it's just so bright in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to find somebody that can put in a spotlight over the ring, like a permanent light, and just hope the people that rent out the basketball ring will destroy it, pretty much in that area. We're just thinking of different things to do.
How did you end up getting the relationship with the Fun Station, actually? Let me just ask you about that.
Well, we were at South River, New Jersey at a DFW hall for the first year. And then we decided to get a promoter's license for New York. And we'd seen it was a backyard company running Fun Station. And, you know, we ratted them out. We're like, these guys don't have a license. You know, they shouldn't be running. The commission made them get a license, and they got one. But we were also starting to run there, too. You know, we were licensed, you know, incorporated company. And they ran a few shows there, and they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't afford it. It was bullshit. It was just, you know, friends and family, and they only last so long. You know, using completely, completely untrained wrestlers. Not untalented wrestlers. Completely untrained wrestlers, and people want to see that garbage. And then they see our product. And right off the bat, we packed it out. You know, we had our shows there that didn't draw well. We did a show on September 11th, I think it was 2010, and we didn't draw well at all. But, you know, it's, our product is just, good we could draw there consistently. But that's the relation with the Fun Station was we had to guarantee them two shows. And I can't even imagine how many shows we've done there. We just did our 88th show, and I have to say only 50, maybe 60 of them have been a Fun Station.
It's pretty good though. It's pretty awesome.
Especially since you're only supposed to guarantee him two shows, and now you have like 60 shows.
Yeah, guarantee me two shows, at least he'll be here. And I'm personally friends with the owner now.
Okay.
You know, we run the school out of there now, and I see the guy on a daily basis.
Now let's talk about the last event. You had Riley wins the title. What made you decide like it would be this was the right time and the right opportunity for Riley to get a hold of the title and then to move your company forward with him as the leading man?
Well, you want me to go behind the scenes right now?
This is also part for. I might have to put this in the article for your story, but I could also. It's just for really for his article that I'm working on. So.
Well, he was supposed to win the title in July.
Okay.
And I just got tired of Team Torment. You know, they're supposed to be two guys with the belt, and they're going to be some cross coming shows. I'm just getting tired of this. They weren't really getting over with the crowd, with the exception of the 7-year anniversary show, which involved other guys. They helped them get over. They just weren't getting over like they think they were anyway. Not taking away from the wrestling ability at all. They just weren't getting over. Let's just pull a plug on this. Let's just get Riley the belt. He's super hot right now. And we got Rikishi coming in. This would be an awesome show. And it was. And decisions that I make sometimes, Jake doesn't always agree with at first, but that's not my decision. The outcome is always the best.
That's cool. Well, that will be off the record. I won't add it in any articles.
You can add whatever you want in your article. It's up to you.
All right, no problem. Thanks for that.
I won't say anything that I wouldn't. If I won't say something that would have worked for them.
All right. Thanks for that vote of confidence. Now Riley's been. He says he's been with you for like 7 years now.
And well, he's been with me from the beginning.
Yeah.
Not the literal beginning. At the first show, he had a high school drama play. I think you could ask him about that. I don't know too much about it. But he was with me from the second show. I didn't know him from Gleason. I didn't really care for him. I thought he was a little big mouth kid.
That's what he,
what happened?
I said that's what he was saying, that you was tough on him. He didn't say that you say he was a big mouth kid. He said you was tough on him.
Well, that was later on. He was just annoying. I just ignored him at this point. But then I met him. I got to know him. He started refereeing for me. Obviously, his neighbor, the Bat George Touchers, was both our trainers, Johnny Rods. Unpredictable Johnny Rods, the Hall of Famer. We did something stupid in his yard. He went and told James' mom. And, James was underage at the time. James wasn't allowed to do. I think it was like our fourth show. And his father, his parents are divorced. Said, oh, no. You go do your shows. So he started doing shows with us. Then he started wrestling. I don't remember the year. You would have to ask him which show he actually started wrestling on. He started doing the Marco Smudo gimmick because he was wrestling and I needed him to ref, but I still needed him to start wrestling in front of a crowd. You would have to get the dates on and show it exactly from him. I don't think everything runs into each other, But yeah, I was really tough on James, really tough. Because that's the way I think people learn. I don't like the baby people. The people I don't give a shit about, I'll just whatever. But James, I was tough on him.
Can you just go through from like the outside looking in, all the work he put in to get to that point?
James or the company?
Well, James.
All the work that James put in to get where he is now?
Yeah, well, work with you, since you basically trained him and you've been with him.
Yeah, that's easy. Like I said, he was, in the beginning, he was wrestling. And we didn't have the school. We were running out of the VFW, South River. So we had the building the whole day. He would work out in the ring. We would help him out a little bit. We didn't have much time before the shows. He was getting very limited training. Then a school opened up on Staten Island out of another garbage fucking school, but it was a ring for us again to help him out, and we did. So we started, like I said, with the Marco Smudo thing, and he was reffing, so he was paying his dues that way. He would also help with the ring crew. Then when we got to school, the Warriors Warehouse, when that was burnt down on he helped bring in bands and rave parties to help us pay the bills. We weren't making money wrestling there. We didn't have many students, and it was literally in a garbage dump. So nobody wanted to come down and train, and it was dirty, there was rats there, there was no heat, there was no AC, it was disgusting. But, and he would help run the school there, he'd help do a ring crew, he'd help load up the truck, the Friday before the show, the Saturday show. So he paid his dues that way. He still helps me out big time, helped me promoting. You know, and then just the wrestling, just, you know, just getting experience, you know, as time goes on, you know.
Yeah. So would you say he really worked hard to get to that point?
Absolutely, yeah. That's why he's the, you know, we're all just, I don't know if you know, he's going to be wrestling a guy named Shelton Benjamin. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's his idol. I don't know, it's going to kill me to tell you this. If you go in Riley's bedroom, I collect wrestling figures. I always have since I was a kid. Obviously, when I was younger, I played with them. You know, when I was like 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
The big rubber one. But as a kid, I would use Legends figures. As a guy, you know, I like old wrestlers. I bought them and I kept them, but I kept them in the package. Well, Riley bought them, and he opened them, and they're all over his room. I got pictures of them.
That's
but
crazy.
But at the top of his bookshelf, all his figures are, it's all one black figure. Well, Shelton Benjamin, that's his favorite wrestler of all time. Why? I don't know. You'd have to ask him that. He's going to actually wrestle him on August 15th. So, I mean, you know, you get rewarded when you do right by me. I try to take care of you, you know?
Yeah. It's actually crazy because the interview I did with him, he said that he would love to wrestle with Shelton Benjamin. That's the crazy thing. And now you got him wrestling with Shelton Benjamin.
Well, I think the day that we found out is Wednesday. I was on, I don't know if you know Richie DeGray, you see him roaming around the show. The agent, a lot of the wrestlers, seemed to glance, he's always thinking, yeah, I'm pretty sure. The deal was with him, and he's like, oh, I'm trying to get his phone number. So when he called, I said, James, answer this, because I knew it was going to be about that. I was just between the guys, so James actually got the call. Where Richie said, all right, it's a done deal, and I'm sure James, that was pretty exciting for James, you know. If somebody called me and said, hey, Joey, you're going to wrestle, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, or a Dynamite Kid, which is my favorite girl, that'd be a pretty cool thing for me, you know.
Yeah. So, you have the Roku channel, right? You have the YouTube channel.
Do you have Roku?
Huh?
Do you have Roku?
Yeah, yeah, I do have Roku. Well, no, I don't. I was going to sign up for Roku. Didn't get a chance to. But I know about it and everything like that. I was going
to
get one, though. But you had the Roku channel.
For it, it's a box.
But yeah, yeah. So I'm saying, well, you can get it off of Amazon as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you had the Roku channel. You had the YouTube channel. Your fan base is growing. Do you feel like you guys can become like how ECW was early in the early 90s? It's looking, to be honest with you, from the outside looking in, and a lot of people that are viewing the product are looking at it that way. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Do you see?
I appreciate that. I really do. ECW was different. ECW in the beginning, I don't know how well you know your history, was under the NWA banner, which, you know, at the time, you know, they governed the wrestling. You know, it was towards the end of the NWA thing, but, you know, whatever. But they also, what they gave ECW was talent. Like, they would send Arn Anderson there, Terry Funk,
yeah,
you know, these guys, these big name guys, and then, you know, kind of doing the same thing we're doing, like we're bringing Rock Easy, we mix in the local guys, but they also had TV, you know, with something we don't have. You know, but the ECW also has the WWE, again, which we don't have. So that all, in the beginning, the WCW, so that all helped them out.
Yeah.
And they had connections, you know, for him, obviously, had connections with Tappas, Zach, and Foley, you know, Boston. Kind of strong, Eddie Gilbert. So, I mean, that all helped, you know, them. We built this from nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, I was unemployed. The first show I ran, I didn't have a job.
That's pretty crazy. And yeah, now you guys are 7 shows, well, 7 years in, about three. This is the 8th year.
Yeah. Up on show 89.
What's interesting is, you know, though you guys don't have TV, it seems like the more and more social media gets involved with it, the more and more you guys seem to fill in your, you know, the fun station. And I feel like...
I don't know why we're telling us the fun station. I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's, you know, the old school putting up flyers. I don't know if it's, you know, the turning fans. I mean, obviously, there's always a lot of tremendous faces. There's also a lot of new faces. I don't know what's doing it. I don't support guys to sell tickets. There's a lot of companies. You know, Juba, the team tournament guy.
Yeah.
He wrestles for a company in Long Island. They told him he has to sell 50 tickets to be on a show. I said, are you out of your mind? That is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's great.
I never told guys to sell tickets. I tell guys, yeah, spread the word out there. Tell your friends to come. But I never say, if you don't sell X amount of tickets, I'm not going to be on the show.
Yeah. And that actually goes into the next question I'm about to ask you. What seems to draw more of the independent guys and the nationally known guys to want to work for your promotion and work with you, and they keep coming back. Like, what is it that sets you apart? And what you just said actually is a little bit of what it is, but can you just further elaborate on that?
Yeah, if you look at, let's say a guy like Chris Stewart, you're going to see majority of his matches are from Warriors Wrestling. So I put the guy's stuff up there. You know, with other companies, you don't even film the shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that could be one of them. I don't know. I mean, these are questions you have to ask them. I don't know what makes them come back. I'd like to think I'm doing a good job promoting shows. I don't know.
I think it also has to do with you. Well, I've asked you this before, and you know, and I told you I've talked to Joey Ace, I've talked to Angel Ortiz, I've talked to Mike Drastic, and I've also talked to Riley. That's four guys now. Each one of them told me it's basically your locker room leadership that's doing this for them. Like, they entrust in you and they listen to you because they know you know what you're talking about, and you know they're putting them in the right position to be successful. So, do you think, like, that's also what's doing it, basically, because they're going to their guy saying, hey, you know, this is a guy to work for? You think that's also helping? It's word of mouth?
Yeah, I mean, as far as guys that want to work for you, you always have guys that want to work wherever they can. And every time somebody, Nat McMoore, in the recent months, years, you know, this guy told me about this company, I see that now more with school, especially. Thursday, we had another girl come in. She's like, oh, you know, how you doing? She's a very nice girl. Little green. But she was training elsewhere. And she was, oh, I heard good things about this place. I want to come down and work out. But she was referred to us by another girl who, again, was training somewhere else. And she came to my school, and I had to correct a lot of the issues she had. Because these other schools, in my opinion, suck. And I'm not just saying that, but, you know, it's happening a lot. This guy, Juba, again, is training out Long Island. And he's coming to my school because he doesn't like the way he's being treated out there and doesn't like what he's learning out there. I have my own students that just started with me, and it's easier for them because they're learning the right way right off the bat. But then I have a lot of people from elsewhere now that are trained, you know, quote-unquote, but they don't know. There's a lot of things they don't know or they're not doing right that I have to collect from. And that's good. You know, I wish I made the money that these other schools made by ripping them off in the first place. But, you know, it's also good where somebody can say, wow, you know, I went down to Warriors Training Center and I learned where, you know, what to do, and we should go down there and check it out. So, you know, maybe somebody else come down and another person come down. And before you know it, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have 12, 14 people on each day, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's starting to fill up. So I have two more questions before. I said I have two more questions before I, you know, let you go. And we're going to continue, you know, we're going to have another interview after this with you guys and the basis of how this got started, where it's at now, and, you know, everything like that. So I just have two more questions. One's a Riley question and one's a personal question towards you. Let me go with the Riley question first, which is, like, do you feel he has enough talent and work ethic to get to, like, WWE and TNA?
Oh,
TNA,
I mean, I don't know anything really about TNA. I don't even know if they're on TNA anymore. So sure, why not? It's like, I really have nothing positive to say about tonight. WWE, does he have enough talent to get to WWE?
Talent and work ethic. And work ethic.
Sure, why not? I don't, but that doesn't always mean that you'll get there, you know?
Of course.
I think Paul London said this to somebody at the last show. Riley has a lot of heart, but it's going to get broken. And, yeah, the last show, I'm sorry, the April show. You know, it's hard. It's hard because there's no territories like there was years ago. There's one company, really. You know.
Yeah.
And how many guys do you have in that company?
Mm-hmm.
How many guys are looking to be there? Where years back, you had, you know, St. Louis, New York, Florida, Mid Atlantic, Texas, San Francisco, Oregon, you know, you had all these, Minnesota, all these different places, you know? They're not there no more. It's a shame.